Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today our focus is going to be the 54th chapter, Perek Nun Dalad of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a famous Perek because it actually is the Haftorah of two separate Parashiyos. It appears as the Haftorah of Parashas Noach and also that the third of Nechemta, the third of the seven prophecies of comfort, which is actually read on Parashas Re'eh. Very powerful Haftorah, just a halachic tidbit out there. On Parshas Noach, the whole perek is really read. On Parshas Re'eh, it is usually only the second half of the parasha, the Ani Asara, not the Rani Akara. When is it that, on which year would we read it, the full thing on Re'eh as well? Just a question, when is the time we would read the full chapter 54 as the Haftorah of Re'eh? Just putting it out there. Let's actually head into the chapter itself. The first section starts with the words which are very familiar to us, which is Rani Akara Layada. It's rejoice, O Akara, the barren one, which has not given birth. This is obviously referring to Yerushalayim. Barren in the sense that she has no children who are around. Her children have left to exile. She's not producing children. People are not coming to live there. She is desolate. That's the picture we are getting over here, the description. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to her, start singing, because your children are going to return. Tzahali v'roni, roni v'tzahali, lo'chala. And then Hashem goes on to say, Harchivi makom ohalech, v'yiros mishkanasaych yatu. Open up your tents, expand yourself, because there'll be so many people coming back. You won't have enough space to hold all of them together. Very powerful description, something which we're fortunate enough to be witnessing today as the building continues. Very rarely can you look at the Yerushalayim landscape today without seeing a crane building and expanding all the time, Baruch Hashem, upwards, downwards, and outwards. And the Haftorah continues to say, Ki yominu smol tifos, you're going to break out of what has been incarcerating you up till now. V'gzareich goyim yirash v'arim neshamos yashivu, you will settle in desolate cities, places that had not been settled in for years. These are prophetic things that we're witnessing and watching right now. And, you know, we obviously hear echoes of l'chadoidi over here. Al tiri, don't fear, ki lo yisei voishi v'lo yisei kolmi. You're not going to be embarrassed. The shame of the past will no longer be mentioned. Those who shamed you will no longer exist, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your Redeemer, and nobody can undo his actions. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the metaphor once again of the woman, not in this case of a barren woman, but the couple that split up, the couple that had some argument, but they were a couple that this is their first love, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us off, and Hashem says, I'm calling you back now. And understand something, says Hashem, that our separation was momentary compared to the amount, the time and the destiny we're going to spend together in the future. Meaning, understand that the shetzef ketzef histarti ponai rega bimech. It was a moment that I turned my face from you in hiding. Now, it may not feel like a moment to us who've lived through the millennia of galus, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that, relatively speaking, compared to the amount of rachamim and chesed that Hashem is going to pour onto us, it's going to be simply a moment in history. That's the nechama. That's the comfort He is giving us. And then he says, Ki mei Noach zoisli. This to me is like the waters of Noach. Asher nishpati me'avor mei Noach od, where I swore not to bring the mei Noach, the waters of Noach, back to the world. What the Radak says this means is that when the humans emerged from the ark, after the great flood in Parshas Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore never to destroy humans again. And so therefore, in the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, when you are emerging from this galus, I'm going to swear never to bring the good Jews into galus once again. And finally, he closes the section by saying in the most poetic way, Ki hehorim yomushu v'agvoyos tivutena. Understand that even the greatest mountains may move, may shift, may explode, may be shifted over time. But v'chasti me'itoch me'itech lo yomush. Understand that my chesed is eternal. More eternal than the mountains, more eternal than anything you feel is constant in this world. That's the power of what he's saying. This ends the first section. One basic question to ask in this is that it sounds strange to call the flood the example of Mei Noach, the waters of Noach, meaning what was Noach blamed for in that respect? He was the survivor. He was the only tzaddik in that generation. Why is it called on his name that these were the floods of Noach? So the Medrash Tanchum in Bereishis Lamed Zayin says a very interesting thing. It quotes Rabbi Yudon in the name of Rabbi Azariah. And he said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Avraham Avinu confronted Hashem about the king of Sodom and the destruction, the imminent destruction of Sodom, he turns to Hashem and he says, he quotes this pasuk, so to speak, this idea, Ki mei Noach zoisli, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you swore never to bring the men Noach on the world again, never to destroy the world. How could you be doing this to Sodom? And there's this whole argument that goes backwards and forwards between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think it's very instrumental that it is fascinating that Avraham Avinu quotes this pasuk or this idea to be said later on by the prophet Yeshayahu. Because ultimately, that's exactly the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach. That's exactly the point. Meaning to say, Avraham Avinu was the person who saw discord in the world. He saw problems. And what did he do? He went out and he prayed. He beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. What did Noach do? Noach did nothing. Noach built his teva for 120 years. Now, let's understand, to be successful in that generation is no small feat. But at the end of the day, he did not pray for those who were around him. And ultimately, the waters are called on his name in a certain sense, opposition to the way Avraham Avinu reacted to imminent tragedy for people he was not part of. The last section of this perek is called Aniyasara. This is the second section, which is really where the Haftarah of Re'e starts, which is it's now referring to Yerushalayim in a different way. It's talking about a poor woman who is So'ara. So'ara is a hard word to actually translate. It comes from many different ways. Rashi interprets it to mean that her heart is in a storm, meaning there's this poor woman, like Yerushalayim, who has no comfort, who's in internal disarray. That's what we're referring to over here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'm going to lay the foundations. I'm going to pour the sand for the stones to make the foundation and going to build even the foundations will be built out of sapphires. And I'm going to make your windows out of these beautiful luminescent stones. And the pillars of the entranceway are going to be these gems. This most beautiful, beautiful description of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And at this point, V'chol Banayach Limudei Hashem V'Rav Shalom Banayach, a famous pasuk we know, that all your children will be learning Torah and the words of Hashem, and there'll be much peace among your children. Notice, by the way, that all the children will be learning, but most of them will be in peace. So it seems like peace is very hard to get for everybody, just as something to note. And why will this be? Hashem says very simply, because you will pursue justice. Yerushalayim will be a place where there will be no intimidation. There will be no bribery. There will be no corruption. That's why Yerushalayim will be like this. That's how pure it will be. It will be a place of Torah, a place of peace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says in a beautiful metaphor, I was the one who created the fire, the tools necessary, or the instruments necessary to create instruments. And I created the people who make those instruments. But understand, kol kli yutzar olayich lo yitzlach. Therefore, anybody who makes an instrument against me, who thinks they can make weapons against me and my people and against Yerushalayim, it will not work. Anybody who propagates information against my nation, it will not succeed. Right? Zois nachalas adei Hashem. Because my bracha to my people is that I will protect them. I'm the one who created the instruments. I'm the one who can protect them from those same instruments. Beautiful description to end this parak. One or two things just to notice over here, and that is the following. Just going back actually to the previous section for a brief moment, the mountains melting and shifting place, but Hashem's chesed not changing. Is there some sort of symbol of the mountains actually melting or changing? So the Yaros Devash, Rav Yonasan Abishitz, quotes a Medrash, who says a very powerful thing. He says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shift the mountains is not just to show that everything is ephemeral, but actually to the places where Bnei Yisrael sinned will have to be cleansed. They'll have to be reconstituted. That's what's happening over there. Another point to notice over here is that we famously say in Pita Makatares, which is said in Nusach Sfarim and by the Sfarim every day and on Shabbos with Ashkenazim and on Yom Tov, we say that Rav Shalom Bonayich is the source that Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Bo'olam, that sages bring peace to the world because Shenemar Rav Shalom Bonayich, Al Tikre Bonayich Ela Bo'inayich, the builders of Torah will be the ones to bring peace to the world. Now, just to appreciate this for a second, you know, like, rabbis seem to always be arguing, aren't they? I mean, like, how can they be creating peace if, I mean, they create wisdom, but the peace, they're always arguing with one another. How do we even appreciate that Devar Torah? Rav Kook, in his Pirush on the Siddur called Olas Re'iyah, on the section of Pita Makatares, actually discusses exactly this idea. And he points out that the word shalom does not mean to say peace, you know, kumbaya, lavi-davi, all around the fire, you know, singing together. That's not what peace is. Peace is actually comes from the word shlemus. Shlemus means to say completion. That means sophistication. That means all ideas coming together. The only way to reach complexity of ideas is when everybody has a voice, but those voices can coexist. That's the notion of peace. The shalom we're talking about over here is sophistication and complexity. And that's what with the picture over here. We're going to have Rav Shalom Bonayach. Because the people will be allowed to have a voice, because there'll be a Torah-governed society, then we can reconstitute the opinions within the Torah rubric to create a more shlemus dicker view of the world, which is what we're hoping for. Just one last thought, and that is the comparison between the first and the second half of this perek. The two images of Yerushalayim, the one is this Roni Akara, this barren woman, and the other one is this Ania Sarah, which is this inwardly turbulent woman. Why do we need these two metaphors? Why one back to back? I think that just looking at it, if you think about it, the first section of the Perek is really talking about the Kibbutz Golios, about the return to Zion. It's about the return of the people to the place of Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer going to bring them to Golos again. The second part talks about more of, we'll call it, you know, this metaphoric beauty and peace, and the Yerushalayim being the place or the fountain of wisdom for the world. That's more of a spiritual redemption, which is a second and later stage of the Geula. And it makes sense, because if you think about it, today we've really witnessed to a large degree, the first half of this Haftarah. We've really witnessed the Kibbutz Golios, the expanding of the tent of Yerushalayim in unimaginable ways. But we're still waiting. We're still waiting, and this is not waiting for Hashem, this is waiting for us to reinstitute justice in Yerushalayim so it can be the place that He promises, that it'll be our Nachla and our Bracha, never to be heard by enemies. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.